Dis Vrydag, dit beteken dis tyd vir Stoepiese Bioskopie en soos julle weet is ek 'n groot aanhanger van ware misdaads dokumentêre reekse en films. En vandag het ek die voorreg om 'n bietjie met Nadine Kloete te gesels oor 'n splinternuwe dokumentêre film op Showmax. Nadine, welcome to Lekker FM.
Thank you so much, Simone. Thank you to you and thank you to your listeners.
Well, you are from Idea Candy. Give us a little bit of background of some of the projects that Idea Candy has worked on.
Sure. So I directed the stationary documentary with Idea Candy. They are a production company. We've done amazing projects like Devil's Door, Rosemary's Hit List, and the Tabo Bestest. So they're quite known for, you know, digging deep into true crime.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you that the stories that you guys come out with, I'm always in awe of, because some of these stories I've never even heard of. I mean, your Tabo Bester, we all know him and his whole story. But
yes,
the goings on in Kreersdorp with Devilsdorp, Rosemary's Hit List, yes, it was in the news, but you didn't really have all of the insight. And now you guys are doing the Station Strangler, which I've never even heard of.
Wow, okay. Yeah, so look, I can't take the credit, of course, for Idea Candy's previous work, because Station Strangler is the first project we worked on together.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I just want to thank the producers of Idea Candy, Vim, Al, and Clorinda, just for their leadership. And also, you know, this was my first time tackling the true crime genre, and they gave me so much freedom. And I just want to, you know, thank them for that. They are an amazing team.
That is so wonderful to hear.
An amazing group of people to work with.
That's wonderful. Tell me, how did you guys come up with the idea to do a story about this Station Strangler?
Sure. So the researcher was Kim Kloete. You know, she is an actress.
Mm-hmm.
She had pitched the idea to Idea Candy actually before Norman Simons, the perpetrator, was released on parole, which was last year. So the year before, she had actually already pitched the concept to Idea Candy. They really liked it. They took it to Showmax, you know, and said, you know, let's do something about this. Showmax gave it the green light, and that's how I then came on board.
Well, you just said something very interesting. Before he was released on parole, so I've got a question regarding that. But first, for our listeners that have not heard about the Station Strangler, like myself before I saw the documentary, just give us a little bit of background on what exactly this documentary is about, and then I'm going to ask my question.
Sure. So the documentary explores the case by the same name, the Station Strangler.
Mm-hmm.
These killings, you know, took place on the Cape Flats from the late 80s to the mid 90s. The serial killer became known as the Station Strangler because this is where these little boys, I mean, it was so sad that his victims were young boys,
mm-hmm.
From about 8 years old to their early teens, who were primarily kidnapped from train stations.
Yeah.
So the train stations and game shops were many of the last places these boys would be seen alive. And their bodies then found, you know, either on the dunes of Mitchell's Plain or around train stations. And that's how the serial killer got the name the Station Strangler.
That makes absolute sense. Now my question is, he was recently released on parole. And the documentary includes interviews with the families of these victims. How do you go about creating a documentary where you are sensitive towards these victims, but also in a way that you don't get in trouble for making a documentary about someone that's still alive, you know, and is now a free man?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the eyes of the law, he's now served his sentence. So how do you approach a documentary like that?
Yeah, thanks for that question. I think, you know, the best thing is that these are families who are still, you know, experiencing severe trauma from what happened to their loved one, be it their son, cousin, brother. And we felt that we really had to center their voices and their experiences, right? Because I feel, you know, in many of these cases, the perpetrator is the one that, you know, that story is the one that becomes center stage.
Yeah.
But we really wanted the voices of these families to be heard, to get the platform that is, you know, because many of these stories are so buried, especially those of families on the Cape Flats.
Yeah.
And that was so important. And I know that, you know, some of them did struggle to do these interviews, but like the brother of the one boy who, you know, was killed in this manner, he said, although the interview was difficult for him, it was a way to keep his brother alive, to keep that memory alive. So family, they had different reasons for participating. Either it was to, you know, to keep a memory alive, it was to try and get a sense of justice, and mainly so that the public can hear how they feel, can hear and can see, experience what they are still living with.
Definitely. And I must say that brother did stand out to me. The moment you said the brother, it immediately took me to his interview and I was tearing up. I think because I am a sister to a brother, you know, you automatically have that connection with him and you think, what if this happened to my brother or my cousin or, you know, someone in your family and being murdered so brutally, I think is what's the crux here. And what for me also was terrifying is the fact that he was only, Norman Simon, was only convicted of one murder.
I mean, yeah, that is so shocking and so sad also. You know, firstly, and also to say that even that family, the murder that he was held responsible for, that he was taken to jail for, even they feel that they've still been denied a sense of justice because even though he went to jail for that crime, he still didn't admit to it, right? He himself did not confess to it. And so that is still quite upsetting for him. I mean, when he came out on parole, that family wasn't even consulted. They
Are
were
you
part
serious?
Of a, yeah, they were part of a bigger community event where the community was told as a whole, this is the community of Mitchell's Plain and Strand, that he will now be released. But there was no private meeting with them. So that's on the one hand. And then on the other hand, you know, in the documentary, we also explore the appeal case that was led by Marilise Rola, right? Where she explores that at least Norman Simons or the person who killed Alroy Van Roy, which is who Norman Simons went to jail for, the person who killed Alroy Van Roy could have killed at least six other boys, because she, in her investigation, she found that these six boys were killed in the same way, right, that Alroy Van Rooyen was killed. And we must remember that these serial killers, they have, you know, a modus operandi.
Of course.
Boys are the same age, boys are of the same community, they are killed in the same way, their bodies are found in the same fashion, tied up in the same fashion. So all of that is consistently the same, you know, across 21 murders. So that is why, you know, people believe that, yes, even though Norman Simons was jailed rather for one crime, that he must be the station strangler.
But the fact that he also left notes, there was that one part in the documentary where the police broadcasted that it was victim number this much, and the next body they found had a note in it that said, no, it's actually this number. You know,
yes,
so it blows my mind. So for the people out there that have not seen this documentary, why should they watch it?
Yeah, I think people should see the documentary. I think followers of true crime, I think would find it interesting. I think that people who lived in those communities on the Cape Flats during that time should definitely give it a watch. I think it's a documentary that not only takes a look at the case and question and, you know, delves into the questions around the perpetrator, but it also looks at the politics of the time, because the perpetrator was arrested in 1994, you know, which is quite, you know, an outstanding year for our country, and we can't escape that in the telling of this narrative. So I think it's a documentary that really, you know, looks at all these layers of politics, community, and the criminal investigation. So people who have those interests should definitely check it out.
I absolutely agree with you. And then before I let you go, what is Idea Candy working on that you can, like, give us a little voorsmaakie of, if I can put it that way?
Well, there are various things on Showmax at the moment. I think if people have not watched the previous shows, that includes School Ties.
Oh, that was
that
good.
Is out on Showmax. Yes. So, yes, look out for them. School Ties, Tabo Bester, again, Devil's Dorp, and Rosemary's Hit List. I mean, these are all really brilliant shows produced by Dear Candy.
Well, we look forward to your next project and the next project out of Idea Candy. And, of course, the true crime stories that are close to home are certainly the ones that we should be supporting and looking for. And so that Idea Candy can make more stories and know that people out there are watching it. Nadine, thank you so much for your time today and for giving us an insight into The Station Strangler, now streaming on Showmax.